May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 743. My business lies at Jesus' gate, where many a laser comes, and here I sue and here I wait for mercy's falling crumbs. 743.
Thank you. us read together from the Word of God, from the Gospel, according to Luke chapter 1, and we will read from verse 39 down to verse 73. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 1, begin to read from verse 39 down to verse 73. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For though as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed for ever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came, that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbours and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the 8th day they came to circumcise the child. They called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table, and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marvelled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, and he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham. May the Lord bless that reading of his word to us and help us to seek him, the throne of grace. O Lord, be pleased to look down upon this gathering, and we do trust and hope that have come together in thy name. And if, Lord, thou hast been pleased to put a desire into each of our souls to come and worship at thy feet, then, Lord, we would thank thee for that desire, and that thou wilt be pleased then to visit us, to draw near to each one of us in a very real and personal way, to reveal and manifest thyself to us. For, O Lord, in our desires we seek to draw near to thee. 'Twas the desire of thy servant David, one thing have I desired. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that that one thing desired is indeed a precious Christ at this time, who is able to fill up all our deep needs in the gospel, who is able to come to each and every one of us, who is able out of his fullness to come to each case and need, that not one should be left destitute, what not one shall be left, Lord, without some mercy shown this time. And, O Lord, we do pray. Many have been the prayers that have been offered up to thee, Lord, in this house. As we come into the pews of thy house, be pleased to answer each case and each need as it may arise, we pray thee. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt help us to wait upon thee, and with that true, humble, contrite spirit, Lord, waiting to see what thou wilt say to our souls, praying, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to show unto us the good things of thy gospel grace. Be pleased to visit each poor soul in thy salvation, and may we each be blessed with a further revelation of thy love and grace to us, we pray thee, Lord. We seek further confirmations, Lord, of our faith and love to thy name. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to come and to bless each one of us, Lord, with another word in season, Lord, to confirm us, Lord, to bring us near to thee, Lord, to partake of thee once more in the gospel, we pray thee, Lord. We wait upon thee, we're poor, needy, helpless, Lord, in and of ourselves thou knowest. But be pleased to pour forth thy spirit upon us, Lord, taking of the things of Jesus, showing them unto us, revealing and manifesting the preciousness of thy person to us, in all thy offices and characters, meeting our needs in the gospel. And be pleased, Lord, to show thyself precious to our poor souls, precious in thine incarnation into this world, precious, Lord, in the preaching of the gospel, precious in thy miracles, Lord. And, Lord, every one of thy people are a miracle of grace. And precious, Lord, upon the cross at Calvary, O Lord, we would seek, Lord, to be continually brought into the remembrance, Lord, of our great salvation in Jesus. Oh, may we never forget thee, Lord, and may we never forget the cost that was paid to pay all our debts, to remove all our guilt and all our defilement, and to cleanse and to heal, Lord. May we never forget, Lord, the sufferings, the wounds and the bruises. Oh, we do pray, Lord, bring us continually, Lord, to behold thee in our room and place at Calvary. Oh, we do pray, Lord, for more of the softening of our hearts before thee, Lord, as we see thee by our faith, Lord, in our room and place. And, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt truly melt our hearts before thee, Lord, in humbleness, Lord, for that it was done to those the most unworthy of it, Lord, the laying down of thy life for them. And, O Lord, we do pray and thank thee, Lord, that the end and the blessing, Lord, of thy salvation to us is now, Lord, that we can speak well of thy name, speak well of the wonders of thy grace to sinners, and that, Lord, at this time, being found before thee and at thy feet, and with that love that thou didst show to us reciprocated, that it is found in our hearts now towards thee, to serve thee, to worship at thy feet, Lord, and to, Lord, wait upon thee. And so, Lord, we come before thee at this time and pray, Lord, that we may experience a felt nearness, Lord, the wonder, Lord, and the sweetness of union and communion with thee. Not only, Lord, realizing my beloved is mine and I am his, but, O Lord, to hear thy voice, to speak, Lord, to our poor souls, to show to us again, Lord, and confirm us that we are thine, that thou art ours in ties of blood. Oh, we constantly need these confirmations, Lord, because thou knowest how that we feel so much of our sinnership here below, the body of death, the wayward heart, the wandering heart, the carnality, Lord. Much, Lord, that we're brought to mourn and to sorrow over, thou knowest, Lord, and how often thou knowest that we are brought to confess before thee, Lord, that there is no good thing that dwelleth in us, no good thing whatsoever. But we thank thee, Lord, for the mercy, that there is a blessing for thy people, an advocate in heaven, and one indeed ready to pardon, ready to forgive. Oh, this is our mercy, Lord, that if any man sin, we have an advocate in Christ, an advocate with God. We do pray, Lord, that we may be brought then to see and to feel our need of thee, to restore us, to forgive all our sins, to cleanse and to heal. And so, Lord, this is our mercy. And we do pray, Lord, then, if thou hast blessed us each with a desire, one thing have I desired, and that shall I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, behold the beauty of the Lord, and inquire in his temple. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that we may be brought to see that it is a great favour, Lord, to be found in the means of grace at this time, when the world outside, Lord, runneth about following in its own course, the men and women following the dictates of their own hearts. Oh, Lord, what a great mercy it is. A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. Would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God and dwell in the tents of wickedness. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be pleased then to come to us and meet our needs in the gospel. Keep us close unto thee, Lord. Be pleased to rule and to reign in our hearts and in our lives. And be pleased to lead us forth through this barren wilderness here below. Be all our stay, be our keeper. Put a wall of fire round about us. Preserve us in thy love and fear. And teach us, Lord, to walk in the light and truth of thy word, thy gospel. We pray thee, Lord, to hold fast to thee, Lord. Steadfast in doctrine and in truth, we pray thee, Lord, that we may be helped and enabled to live to thy glory. And pray, Lord, and thank thee for all that thou hast done and wrought for us, thy dealings with us day by day, the mercies that are new every morning that we discover, the blessedness, Lord, of thy keeping power towards us, and, Lord, the visits that thou dost bless us with through the word, Lord, that thou dost, Lord, in thy rich mercy, come and enlighten us and enliven us. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt appear at this time, that our time together may be a good and a profitable time, and that we may know through the gospel the blessed and glorious light of the gospel shining forth into our hearts, the Son of Righteousness arising with healing in his wings. We pray thee, Lord. May the gospel have free course this day, Lord. We thank thee, Lord, that we are able to gather together to worship at thy feet, that we have this gracious liberty in this nation of ours, Lord. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to draw near to each of thy sent servants that thou hast thrust forth upon the walls of Zion to proclaim thine everlasting gospel. O Lord, give them each journeying mercies, Lord, to the particular causes of truth where thou hast ordered them to preach. And pray, be their helper, Lord. And through thy Spirit, Lord, lead them into thy truth. And pray, meet the needs of thy people. Comfort Zion, Lord. Be pleased, Lord, to draw near, Lord, and through the gospel to those that are seekers, Lord. Those that seek and desire, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to appear for them. The burden and the weight of their sin, Lord. Oh, for Lord, if we have a seekers in Zion, then, O Lord, we do believe that that good work has begun, and that they, according to thy promise, shall find. And we pray that this day, Lord, may be such a day, Lord, where there shall be those made willing in the day of thy power. O Lord, that thou wilt be pleased then to draw near, Lord, to sinners, and, Lord, those whom thou hast ordained to eternal life, that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, even this day, Lord, to show them their peace and pardon through thy sin-atoning blood, and that they may be those, Lord, that shall be raised up and to speak of those things that Jesus hath done for their souls, not ashamed of that precious name, who hath done such great things for thy people. And we do pray, Lord, this day, hear all the prayers and the petitions of the saints. And, Lord, undertake for them and be with them, Lord. But answer to their needs, we pray thee, for thou art prayer hearing and prayer answering. Hear, Lord, the prayer of intercession this day, Lord, as we plead for those, our children and our children's children, and those, Lord, in relationships, Lord, to us, those connected with us, Lord, those that gather with us, Lord. Oh, how that we prayerfully commit them into thine ever merciful hands, Lord. That thou wilt appear, Lord, in that set time to favour Zion, to change them and to renew them, Lord, to gather them out of the broad way of destruction and the burning lake, Lord, and translate them into the kingdom of thy dearly beloved Son, in peace and mercy. Oh, we do pray, Lord, come, and Lord, show thy great power in deliverance, we pray thee. And so, Lord, we commit, Lord, these things to thee this day, and pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to work in and upon the hearts of sinners, to change them and to renew them by thy grace. So hear the prayers of thy people, Lord, this day. And to those unable to attend the means of grace, we prayerfully commit them into thine ever merciful hands. Do be with them where they are, Lord. Undertake for them, and be pleased to visit them in thy salvation. Perhaps, Lord, in prayer, perhaps, Lord, in the taking up of thy word. O Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to draw near to them, support and strengthen them in their souls, and reveal and manifest thyself to them, that the eternal God is their refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. O Lord, those arms that abide and remain forever beneath the souls of thy people, to bear them up and to carry them, that none shall ever be lost and none shall perish. For thou hast said, Lord Jesus, that none shall pluck them out of my hands. We do pray then, Lord, draw near to us now. Help thy servant to speak in thy name, thy word of truth. O Lord, put the rich treasure of thy gospel grace into his earthen vessel. Let thy word and thy truth through him be a word in season to the souls of thy people here. Oh, may we know, each one of us, what it is to have an interest in Jesus, to have an interest in the mercy that he shows to sinners, to have an interest in that great salvation that he procured for them at Calvary. And so, Lord, be pleased to come. May sower and reaper rejoice together, and we ask these things in that all-precious name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 629. The Lord will feed the poor, nor shall their fare be mean. Rich blessings are in store in Grace's magazine, from which rich treasure Christ will feed the hungry soul that feels his need. 629.
praying and seeking that the Lord will help me to speak in his name, seek to draw your attention to the gospel according to Luke chapter 1 and reading from verse 49 and 50. Luke chapter 1 and reading from verse 49 and 50. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Mary was that one indeed that had heard and received the words of the angel in respect that she should be that one chosen, a great honour, to bear the Lord Jesus. And she was one that believed. In verse 45, Elizabeth says, "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." We have a truth here also in respect of Zacharias. His poor heart fell into unbelief when the angel informed him that his wife Elizabeth, though stricken well in age, that she should also have and conceive in her womb. Unable to believe it. And we see the contrast here in respect of Mary. She was one indeed who I do believe knew and understood, though much younger than Zacharias, that there was nothing impossible with the Lord, that he was able to do great things. In the words of our text, he was able to do great things. And she believed. And I just want to speak a few words in respect of her. Because though that the Lord had done great things for her and she could speak of them, "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things," do feel this time just to speak of those things concerning Mary, but also those things that must concern us today. If the Lord will be pleased to come and do anything for us, if he will speak one word into our poor souls, to comfort us, to bring us near to him, to meet our case and our need, then it will be a great thing, dear friends, a great thing. Make no mistake about it. And we do want the Lord to visit us. We do want the Lord to reveal and manifest himself to us, not only in the greatness of salvation, which I shall speak of in a moment, but we want him to come to us continually. And we have the truth here in respect of the word and the hymn that we've just sung. In verse 53, "He hath filled the hungry with good things." And dear friend, this is another of those great things that had come to Mary. You see, great things. The Lord, without any doubt whatsoever, had filled up her poor soul. What a mercy it is to be spiritually hungry, seeking spiritual and living bread from heaven, that manna that is in Jesus Christ, to feast our souls upon him. And if we will be pleased to come and feed our poor souls this day, it will be our mercy. But we shall be coming as beggars, as the hymn declared, needy, dependent, waiting upon the Lord, because it is only He, dear friends, that can bestow such a gracious blessing upon us, and that is to feed our souls with spiritual meat and drink. And as Peter was brought to know the truth of the words of Jesus and the preaching of Jesus, thou hast the words of eternal life. And that is the testimony, isn't it? Every word given to a poor soul is a declaration and the promise of eternal life. If He is going to feed us now, dear friends, He will feed us to the end of our days, and the end will be well with us. Eternal life. He will never leave off, dear friends, from visiting His poor people here below. And if we think about it, there is nothing else that we need, is there, but His word. Oh, He may be pleased to provide for us in providence. And we thank the Lord that it is thus with us. He has kept us and provided and supplied all our needs. But it is this that is spiritual for the soul, isn't it? That is most important, most needy to us. And if He will be pleased to come and speak one word in season, then it's a great thing, dear friends. I know it is. I do believe that there are those here that can bear testimony to that. When the Lord will come and give us those further confirmations, dear friend, if He is speaking to us, then He is that one, dear friends, ready to come, and He is ready to fill us with His goodness, ready, dear friends, to open our hearts to hear and to receive His word. He is ready to come and comfort our souls. He is ready to come and meet our needs in the gospel. Why, dear friends? Because He owns us. He loves us. And, dear friends, He will indeed be that one to come to us and to encourage us still in our way and path here below. Still, dear friends, to wait upon Him. It will bring us to wait upon Him. If we're His children, if we're the sheep of His pasture, we want this shepherd to come and feed us, and with spiritual, eternal meat and drink for our souls. Just want to speak, if the Lord will help me, of some of those great things. But first, for He that is mighty, He that is mighty. It means He that is able, He that hath all power, He, dear friends, who is the mighty one. And we may see this, dear friends, He is that mighty one. And I'm going to just speak of one or two things, if the Lord will appear to any one of us. It's the mighty God, the all-powerful God, the God that is able. And it means to do these great things. He is able. And Mary understood this truth. And that is the blessing that the angel spake to her and informed her that she should be that one appointed and chosen of God to bear the Lord Jesus, the incarnate God, in her womb. And He is mighty in this respect, dear friends, because of His power. And He has shown His power in every generation of time. Throughout the scriptures, He has shown His power. And we see it in respect of Noah, and that the earth being flooded, His great power, dear friends, He saw all the wickedness and evil of man and instructed Noah to build an ark, which he did in his faith. And, dear friends, His power, And he consumed, dear friends, man and all being upon the earth. And then we see his power, dear friends, in the great deliverances of the children of Israel, the great miracles in Egypt. And his power was revealed and made known in the miracles, all the plagues that he brought upon them. And then his great power, dear friends, in their deliverance out of Egyptian bondage, and the great power in the dividing of the Red Sea, dear friends, dividing the waters and setting a way through them for the children of Israel. Almighty God, dear friends. And these things were done in reality. And this God is our God. This God is our God. And we have a time here now. Mighty. In that, in respect of Mary, that he was able, something that had never been done before, that a virgin should conceive and bear a son. And this, dear friends, was great, his great power. She was one indeed betrothed unto Joseph. But dear friends, it was an immaculate birth, wasn't it? A spotless birth. And he was able, mighty. He is an almighty God, a performing God. And this God is our God. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. There's two thoughts in respect. I just want to speak of these great things. Come back to the incarnation in a moment. But there was one great thing. Apart from this one, this was a great thing here. That she should bear the incarnate God in her womb. But she was one that was needful of salvation, as you and I. And she was one here, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Saviour. Oh, she needed a Saviour, dear friends. She was one born into this world and born with a depraved nature. Born, dear friends, into this world in sin and shapen in iniquity. And she came forth from the womb speaking lies. There was no good thing to be found in her, and there is no good thing to be found in any one of us as we are born into this world. We are all born in sin, shapen in iniquity. And I just thought of a word that spoken by the prophet Isaiah, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. And dear friends, it's just as if we've been born into this world and let loose. Well, that's the truth, isn't it? Going our own way. We're in the world, dear friends, going about at our own charges, ignorant and in darkness in respect of the great need of our never-dying immortal soul. And there we are, in a corrupt nature. I just think of another word in Isaiah. I think it's in 64, but it's true. But this, oh, to be brought to feel it and to know it, this is a great thing, dear friends, because the Lord will be teaching us. The Lord will be showing us what we are by nature. He says, but we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf. And our iniquities like the wind. have taken us away. And that is the fall that is in us, isn't it, by nature? The Adam nature, the fall, the ruin. And dear friends, it's calamitous. Calamitous. But what a mercy. Mary was one. She was one chosen. She was one chosen on two accounts here, but she was a chosen one. She was one set apart, one sanctified, even before time began, just as Jeremiah was. Oh, let us think of the truth of this, given to Jesus before time began. And this is the wonderful truth. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And that is the wonderful mercy, isn't it? That, dear friends, in the love of God, and sanctified and set apart because of the wholeness and the blessedness of the covenant of grace, which was ordered in all things and sure, where everything was settled. All divine decrees and purposes concerning the church were all settled and all agreed upon and harmonized between Father, Son, and Spirit of that one that should come, save and redeem his people from their sins. That one that we've read of together. But it was settled before time began. Dear friends, what a wonderful mercy. These are the sure mercies of David. And so we have this wonderful truth regarding Mary. And in the due time, she would have been brought to see what she was by nature. The Lord will teach his people by his Spirit, dear friends. He will come to every one of them. The time has been fixed, the place, dear friends. And where the Lord will begin that divine work of grace in the soul. And she will be brought to see that she was a captive. And we are captives. Captive to Satan. Captives to sin. Captives to the world. We are captives, dear friends, as we are born into this world. But to be brought to know it is the wonderful truth. And it will be through the teaching of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. He will convince and convict of sin. He will come to every one of his dear people. Not one of them shall be passed by. No, is the wonderful truth. And I just think of these then, what it is to be held captive. I'm just thinking of scripture actually as it comes into my mind. When we're brought to see and to feel that we're captives to Satan and captives to sin, we will be broken up in spirit, dear friends, and the Lord will consume all our strength, because he will lay us low. He will render us guilty. That is what he will do. He will make it so, dear friends, that we shall hate sin and hate ourselves. That will be the teaching, dear friends, because sin is abhorrent unto God. And the wages of sin is death. I was just thinking of another word. I think it's in Ezekiel. Just Ezekiel 18 and 4. If my mind's correct in that. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That is what I was thinking of. And we will be brought to see, dear friends, the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, is the solemn truth. And it will be, it has been shown and clearly, the broad way of destruction, and that subject to the fall that is in us, It is a corporeal, a spiritual, and an eternal death. And the very solemn truth of a hell and a damnation unto all such that remain in their sins and iniquities upon the earth. I cannot preach it in any other way, dear friends. I was brought this way myself, and I know how the Lord laid me so low in respect of my sin, brought me to nothing, you see, only to hang upon him. I had no other hope, dear friends, but that mercy that was in the Lord Jesus Christ. But to be held captive and to know that we're captives is the great mercy, because there is a wonderful truth to such captives. We have the work that Jesus came to do, and which we're seeking just to open up a little, because Mary needed Jesus for her salvation. I just thought of Isaiah 45, and in verse 13, I have raised him up in righteousness. That was Cyrus, but it was a type of the Lord Jesus, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Jesus, dear friends, is the wonderful remedy for the malady of all our sins and iniquities. But he shall let go my captives. What a mercy it is then to be a captive and to know that we are captive. We shall be outcast, dear friends. We shall be brought to nothing in and of ourselves. But this is the mercy. He shall let go his captives. What a mercy to be drawn to Jesus. What a mercy here where the Mary speaking such profound words as these, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Saviour. Emmanuel, God with us, is the wonderful truth, isn't it? This is the mighty God, that for he that is mighty, the mighty God. Think of it in Jesus. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, you see. And only he can bring peace, dear friends, to the troubled conscience, to the guilty conscience. Only Jesus can bring peace. And what a mercy it is to flee to Jesus for mercy, to flee to his cross. And Mary, you see, she understood the sacrifices and the offerings. And she understood, dear friends, her faith was fixed in he that should come. And now she is here claiming these wonderful words. God of my salvation, my Saviour, God my Saviour. And it is in Jesus, isn't it? In that work that he came to do. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And it is our mercy, dear friends, to be drawn to the cross of Jesus. And I, if I be lifted up above the earth, will draw all men unto me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. They must all come to Jesus, dear friends. And it is only Jesus that can bring the poor soul to God. We do pray that the Lord indeed may truly exercise each of our souls, young and old together, and to feel our need of Jesus, and to be brought again and again to the discovery of all the corruptions of our hearts by nature. Jesus settled everything upon the cross at Calvary. Everything. Every vain thought, every evil deed, every wicked way, everything, dear friends. And this is the mercy. Such a pure and holy sacrifice. But let me talk of this now. Let me speak of this truth now, for he hath done great things for me. What is the truth in respect of these great things here? For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. He has done great things, dear friends. He has done great things in respect of that salvation. He came and fulfilled his heavenly Father's will. And he was one indeed that went forth to Calvary so lovingly, willingly and voluntarily for every one of his dear people whom his heavenly Father gave to him. And I, if I be lifted up above the earth, he says, will draw all men unto me. Oh, may we know this drawing influence of the Spirit of the Lord leading us to Jesus, convinced and convicted of our sins and iniquities, feeling ourselves to be condemned, but oh, to flee to Jesus, because Jesus alone, in the riches of his grace, has come to seek and to save lost sinners. And he suffered, bled and died for them upon the cross at Calvary. And it is a great mercy, dear friends. When Jesus said that if I be lifted up above the earth, will draw all men unto me, he knows everyone whom he suffered, bled and died for at Calvary. Their names were written in heaven. Their names were inscribed upon the breast of his love. And he engaged for them upon the cross at Calvary, suffered in their room instead. And, dear friends, he bore away all their sins and iniquities, the just wrath of God that was determined upon them, and the truth of his holy law, which they had indeed broken on so many accounts. Jesus honoured that law as if we hadn't broken any law of it. What a mercy it is then. And then he cried, dear friends, it is finished. The work was done. The wounds, the bruises, but by his stripes we are healed. And that is something, dear friends, we each need to know and experience. The healing balm of his precious atoning blood. And that is the forgiveness of all our sins and iniquities at Calvary's tree. And believe that Mary could say that he hath done for me, he hath done great things. For that he that is mighty hath done to me great things. And she knew her faith was fixed, dear friends, in this pure and holy sacrifice that the Lord Jesus gave himself for her. And dear friends, we want to know somewhat of it for our own selves and in a very real and personal way. Dear friends, there may be many important things in our lives today, and I'm not saying there isn't, but there is one thing, dear friends, far more important and above everything. If you were to lose your own soul, dear friends, what a solemn truth that is. To turn, to come to the Lord and to know the sweet mercy that he has shown to sinners upon the cross at Calvary, and to be brought, dear friends, to see the loveliness of this person and how he loved the souls of sinners, and how he loved them and gave himself for them, and love in every wound and in every bruise and in every stripe. Love, dear friends, and that love towards the soul is a wonderful mercy. It's a great thing, dear friends, to know and to behold Jesus as that one who became our surety at Calvary for all our sins and iniquities. We will call him, dear friends, the greatest friend that we've ever had, Jesus, the friend of publicans and sinners. And this is the wonderful truth. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Sinners, dear friends. What a mercy it is then to to be drawn to him in a believing faith in his name and in the sacrifice that he gave for the sins of his people. And then this truth, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things in salvation. And then something, dear friends, let us pray about. Let us seek the Lord in respect of this. To know this mercy for ourselves. Do not let it pass by thee, dear friends. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else, dear friends, will fall into place by the Lord. All things will fall into place afterwards. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. Now there's another wonderment here, dear friends. We have the truth of the Lord Jesus in his incarnation and into this world. And the wonderful truth, I think it's in hymn number 703. I can just remember the words of it, but it's a wonderful truth. Mary was one that the Lord had done this great thing in respect of her, and it was a great honour, dear friends. And remember now the nature of Mary, and this will be the nature of the redeemed soul, and hath exalted them of low degree. This is such a wonderful truth to be found in that like nature of the Lord Jesus, of low degree, a humble nature, the contrite heart that the Lord has been pleased to give. This is that greatness, this is that glorious change wrought within, you see. And to be able to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and to follow him all our days here below is the wonderful mercy. And so here, she is of a low and a contrite spirit, and yes, she would be blessed in every generation of time. Not exalted, blessed. Blessed of the Lord, that the Lord would so condescend to come to her. And if the Lord, dear friends, will be pleased to come to any one of us and use us for any particular reason for his glory, dear friends, then we shall be blessed. And I say that in respect of the ministers and the deacons, and I say that in respect of every office that the Lord may give to his people. But I say it also in respect of what it is to be one of the Lord's dear people, because he'll raise them up, dear friends, above any other people upon the face of the earth. It's a great honour, dear friends, a great honour. The Lord to come and condescend and to do anything for us. And it's a lifting up. You know, the Lord's people, they're not of this world. They're above all kings and princes, dear friends. They are. The Lord owns them as his own peculiar and choice people. And there is none like them. None like them. They're his. They've been begotten by him. They're his choice. They're his love. And they're under his favour continually. Yes, dear friends, this is the wonderful truth. I was just thinking of this. The eternal Word who built the earth and skies takes on him flesh and in a manger lies. In that dear babe of Bethlehem I see my God contracted to a span for me. What a wonderful word that is. I believe that is what here it is here in respect of Mary, hath done great things for me. The great God, dear friends, contracted to a span. Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus. Oh, this is a wonderful truth here, dear friends. And she was going to bear in her womb, dear friends, the Holy, this is the truth here in respect of these words. And holy is his name. And his name is truly holy. And if I may just speak of this just for a moment, this holiness. Our God, dear friends, is holy, is pure, is righteous. All his ways are righteous, and all his works are holy. Everything in holiness, in purity. And we think of Jesus, the Lamb that was taken, dear friends, the Passover Lamb. It was without spot and blemish upon it. It hadn't to have a blemish on it whatsoever, denoting the perfection of who it typified, the Lord Jesus Christ, that Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, pure and holy, taken from amongst the sheep and the goats, dear friends, set apart, Jesus, you see. And he was one indeed chosen of the Father, wasn't he? His eternal and dearly beloved Son, that should be divinely appointed and all in agreement with Father, Son and Spirit, that he should come to be the Messiah, the sent one, and that one, the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Oh, to bring sinners to God, the mediator between God and man. The wonderful truth of that. But holiness, you see, and holiness is in the whole of his person. Purity, holiness, and this, he has, dear friends, an abyss of holiness in him, and whereby he is able, dear friends, to bless his people with holiness, and with the measure of holiness needful to us today. He has an abyss of holiness in him. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And his people are a holy people. Must think of that. They're a holy people. Dear friends, the work of grace and salvation and redemption is a holy work. There's no impurities in it, dear friends. No. The deliverance is from impurity and corruption. It's a holy work. And it's a holy work begun in the soul, dear friends. It's a holy calling by grace. It's holiness. And holy is his name. And dear friends, it becometh the church then to seek and pray for this holiness in our hearts and in our lives today. This, dear friends, without holiness, dear friend, we shall never see God. We shall never see God. Let us know what it is to pray and seek for this holiness and godliness in our hearts and in our lives today. And we see this holiness, and where the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. See, the Holy Spirit was going to overshadow the womb of the Virgin Mary. And this is a great work, dear friends, something never done before, never experienced by any before, that she would conceive and bear the Lord Jesus through the power of the Spirit. An immaculate conception, spotless, holy, you see, because of him that should come forth. And this is the truth, isn't it? Of him that should come forth. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Oh, she was going to bear the Son of Man in her womb. Great thing, dear friends. But what is the greatness of this great thing here that Mary was going to bear in her womb, dear Lord Jesus, his incarnation into this world, his deepest condescension to come just where we were. Let us just think of that for a moment, dear friends. There's something here for the souls of his dear people to feast upon, because it was for us, wasn't it? It was for us that he came down. And this immaculate conception and this wonderful truth here, this great thing that he has done for Mary. Yes, and she felt to be so favoured. She was favoured that she was chosen. Of all the women in Israel that feared the Lord, she was one that was favoured and chosen, dear friends. But then let us think of the truth of it in respect of ourselves. He came for us. He came, dear friends, to save his people. This is it, isn't it? This is the great thing. It was for Mary, because she says here, God, my Saviour. Oh, she needed a Saviour herself. And this is the blessed truth. She was to bear him that should be her Redeemer and Saviour. And so ours, a great thing, isn't it? Oh, may we come into the truth of it. May we know that this holy child Jesus that was born to the Virgin Mary was that one given for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the great thing, dear friends. Let us not pass it by. It is a most unique event and circumstance here that has ever taken place. It's here we have, dear friends, the God of all the heavens contracted to a span. We have here the Word, even Jesus, contracted to a span. Emmanuel, God with us. For us. For us, for our salvation, is the truth. And I just want to speak of verse 50, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Now, friends, what about this generation? What about our generation? Do we know his mercy? Mary may have had her thoughts inclined to those things that we read. Zacharias, through prophecy, speaking to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. What is the mercy that was to be performed, dear friends? Well, it's here in respect of Jesus. Again, the great thing here that the Lord had done for Mary. It was him that was promised that in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. This is he, dear friends. And I think here in these words in verse 50, and this is the mercy. This is the mercy of the promise fulfilled. Do we know, dear friends, what it is to be found an elect vessel of mercy, to be one of the choice ones of our God? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Jesus said to his disciples, afore prepared, he said to them, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Afore prepared. You see, that this mercy should come to any one of us. Oh, it's a wonderment of grace. It's a great thing, dear friends. Let us make no mistake about it. But you see, in this Romans chapter 9, we have here clearly Paul defining election. Now, I know that it isn't something that a lot want to hear about today, dear friends, but let us hear about it, because it is a divine appointment. It is a divine choice. And God, he says here, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honour and another unto dishonour? You see, God is this potter here, and it is he that has power over the clay. And dear friends, who can question the potter? Who can question our God? And that he will make a vessel unto honour and a vessel unto dishonour? Can we question that, dear friends? No. But what a mercy and an honour it is to be one of those whom he has fashioned to be like unto himself, and to be a vessel unto honour. That is the mercy, an elect vessel of mercy. Isn't this, you see, what did the Lord say unto Ananias in respect of that wretched man, Saul of Tarsus? He is a chosen vessel unto me, a vessel of mercy. Can we see the wonderment of this grace and the greatness of it, dear friends? You see, this is mercy. And this mercy we plead for, this mercy we want to know about. Because it's election, it's choice, and it's so important, dear friends. It's cast off in religion today, but it's the most vital truth, isn't it? Nothing more important than this. And to know that God had a love and a favour towards us before time began, and showed that love and favour in the person of Jesus. That's where his mercy is shown to us, in Jesus. You see, and we want to know something about this, surely, for our poor souls. May the Lord draw near to us. You see, that wretched man on the road to Damascus, oh, that cruel man, blaspheming man, injurious man, persecuting man, and yet an elect vessel of mercy, dear friends. Oh, it is great, isn't it? It's the greatest thing that could ever come to the soul of a poor sinner. I believe that Paul praised and blessed and thanked his God all the days of his life for the mercy that was found. Yes, I do. What a mercy then it is, this vessel of mercy is separated, sanctified and set apart to be a holy thing unto God, for a holy use, dear friends, a holy people to himself. This is the mercy. Well, dear friends, I just few thoughts. May the Lord bring us into the sweetness of them, and to know that he had a favour for us in the person of his dearly beloved Son. Willingly and lovingly gave him. And he was a ransom for our souls, dear friends. Well, he gave him. He gave him, dear friends. The wicked hands did take him. But, dear friends, it was our sins, wasn't it, that nailed him to the cross. May the Lord bring us into the wonderful truth that he died for sinners is our mercy. Amen.
collections last Lord's Day amounted to £755, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, there will be special services tomorrow when Mr. Pocock is expected to preach in the afternoon at 3 o'clock and 6:15 in the evening. And the collections were for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. And our friend Mr. Ince is expected to preach again next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper. Let us close with hymn 984. Hark, how the gospel trumpet sounds, Christ and free grace their inner bounds, free grace to such as sinners be, and if free grace, why not for me? 984.
Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.